preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness from all across the globe. This is Animal Radio Network.
Hey, you lucky devil. Time for more Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network. You came back. You're listening again.
They're here every week, aren't they?
Well, your radio must be broken or you like it. I don't know what the deal is. We have an incredible show for you today. We have a very, very special big guest. You always get the big guest. What? I can't say?
No, don't say his name. Don't say his name.
Why not?
Because he's that big. He's a very special guest. And you know what? Let's play a little game with the listeners out there.
You are such a game player.
I know. Well,
Typical woman.
Let them guess who our guest is.
Let who guess? Me?
No, the listeners. Let someone call in and try to guess, and they can win a prize for their pet.
Well, what kind of prize?
If it's a dog, we'll give them a dog prize. If it's a cat, we'll give them a cat prize.
I don't think a dog or a cat's going to call in. They don't have the opposable thumbs to dial.
They're guardian.
Okay.
Okay, we need to give a hint.
You don't want them just to guess. You already said he, so we know it's a guy.
Okay, I blew that. But let give him a little bit of hint or we'll be here all day.
1-866-405-8405. Okay, what's the hint?
The hint is he resigned after hosting the Miss USA and Miss Universe pageants because the producers refused to remove fur coats from the prize packages.
Oh, that is so simple. That is so simple. Okay.
I don't think so. Let's see what our callers.
First caller will get it. 1-866-405-8405. Who's the special guest on Animal Radio today? Hi, who's this?
Hi, Sonia.
Hi, Sonia. How you doing?
Hi, Sonia.
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. Oh,
you sound like you have an English accent.
I do indeed.
Where are you calling from?
Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, that's a typical Virginian accent. For those of you that haven't been to Charlottesville.
Yes, that's typical. Everybody speaks like that in Charlottesville.
I do indeed.
So, who do you think our guest is?
I'm going to say John Tesh.
Oh, John Tesh, the
Wrong.
Musician host.
See, I told you it wasn't that easy.
No.
Although I believe he is a big animal advocate and doesn't like furs.
Well, he's not our guest today. Maybe some other time. We'll try.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling there. Can we give her a little consolation prize or something?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll give you a little pet prize.
How about a big sloppy kiss? No, we'll give you something. Do you have any animals?
I have a dog.
Okay, we'll give you a dog toy or something like that, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hold on a second so we can get your address and such.
All right.
There you go. John Tesh, good guess, but unfortunately not right. Of course, you said it was a big guest, and John Tesh is no longer big, so I mean, he's very tall,
yeah.
6 feet or something like that.
So we still need someone to call in and guess.
Big guest coming on the show, 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. How you doing?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
Richmond.
Rich, as in Virginia?
Yeah.
Wow.
Big Virginia day today.
Everybody's listening in Virginia today.
Do you have a guess about our guest?
No, I have a question about my cat.
About your cat, okay.
My cat follows me in the bathroom when I'm brushing my teeth and just stares at me.
Wait, when you're brushing your teeth, the cat's
yeah.
staring at you, huh?
And then sometimes I notice my toothbrush is moved or like he's nibbling on my...
Oh.
The bristles of my toothbrush. Is that normal?
We've got one of those here that actually takes the toothbrush and runs around the house with it.
Well, do you mind sharing your toothbrush with the cat?
Maybe a little. I mean,
so
could it be that he wants me to brush his teeth?
Maybe. Ooh. Maybe he's trying to brush his teeth on his own. That's not a bad idea.
Can you brush Kitty's teeth, Judy?
You can, but I would recommend getting a kitty toothbrush.
A different toothbrush.
Yeah. I wouldn't share. It's a personal thing.
It reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where the girlfriend dropped the toothbrush on the toilet.
Oh,
I don't know why it does.
Well, I
understand you can't use toothpaste, though.
No, you don't want to use human toothpaste.
Oh, okay.
Because human toothpaste, it has detergents and stuff like that, and what it does is actually foams up. And it could cause stomach irritation because when we brush our teeth, we spit it out.
Yeah.
And we all know that. Cats can't spit.
They can't?
No, thank God. We've got too many cats around here. Don't teach them how to spit.
Is there a certain toothpaste or something meant for them?
You can go online or go to any pet store and you can find special toothbrushes and special toothpaste formulated for cats and dogs. They also have these great little toothbrushes that they're like rubber and you actually put them over your finger. It's a finger brush that you can get in and around their gums and stuff. And another thing to help their teeth is to get a dry food, which is an oral care type of food, and that'll help remove some of the plaque in between
that
brushes.
That sounds a lot easier than, okay. than jamming a toothbrush in your kitty's mouth.
For most, but I think her kitty's ready.
In this particular case, you can get your kitty its own toothbrush.
Yes.
And practice a little bit. And,
okay.
There you go.
Calling from Richmond, we appreciate it. Why don't you have that accent, that Virginia accent?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. 1-866-405-8405. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.
1-866-405-8405. Listen, I don't have time for guessing games the whole show.
Okay, I'm practically going to give it away.
Why can't
this
we just tell the listeners
no.
who?
Okay, he's been the host of Price is Right since 1972.
Okay, that's a dead giveaway.
That's a dead giveaway.
Dead giveaway there.
Okay, the phones are ringing.
1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
Erica from Sherman Oaks.
Hi, Erica. How you doing?
Good.
Hi, Erica.
What's it like in Sherman Oaks today?
Kind of gloomy.
That June gloom almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, who is our special guest that we'd like to get to so we need an answer?
Bob Barker.
Yay!
Yes, obviously somebody who watches TV. Very good, yes. Eric. We're gonna send you some... do you have any dogs or cats?
I have a dog.
Okay, we're gonna send you some dog toys, okay?
Okay.
Hold on a second. There you go.
Okay.
When we come back, Bob Barker on Animal Radio Network.
Woo-hoo.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the No. 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Welcome back to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network, and it just amazes me how you've overcome your adversity of having no head, just a neck. And to be able to pick up the phone and dial and get the amazing amount of wonderful animal supporters that you do on the phone. Today, this is probably the tops here, because I know when we first started this show about 5 years ago, I actually tried for the celebrity guest.
Did you really?
I guess we weren't big enough then. Now I am so glad to welcome Mr. Bob Barker to Animal Radio Network. Bob Barker, how are you doing?
I was doing fine though. I heard that introduction.
You are our favorite animal advocate in the world, and there is nothing that I could do to possibly thank you for the plug that you give on the end of your Price is Right show every week.
Well, I have had... letters and emails and contact of every description from all over the country regarding that spay-neuter plug. And I have become so identified with it that it has actually been used as jokes in movies and on other television shows. And I think that anyone who hears the name Bob Barker now thinks, have your pet spayed or neutered.
Hey, that's fine with us.
Well, yeah. It's fine with me, too.
Not a bad way to be known.
In fact, there was a book written by someone a few years ago. They were asking everyone in television and movies and so on what they wanted on their tombstones. And, of course, I suggested, have your pet spayed or neutered.
So how did you get involved? How did you decide to start doing that?
Well, years ago, it became obvious to me that one of the most tragic problems, as far as animals are concerned, is overpopulation. There are just not enough homes for all of the cats and dogs being born. And I know that there are people across the country who are devoting their time, their effort, and their money to trying to find homes for these poor creatures. But these people are doomed to disappointment because the homes don't exist. There aren't enough of them.
Yeah.
I thought the obvious solution was to have your pets spayed or neutered, and I started my campaign some 25 years ago now, probably, and I've been doing it ever since.
Wow, that's a long time.
Do you have any pets at home?
Oh, yes. I have a great little pet right here. I'm about to pet her. She's looking up at me. Her name is Jessie. I just got her from a shelter. She's a golden retriever chow mix, and she's a sweet little lady, about 4 years old. And in a room where Jesse can't join them, I have Mr. Rabbit and his honey bunny. I have two rabbits.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never had a rabbit, nor did I ever intend to have a rabbit, necessarily. And my housekeeper was parking her car about a block or block and a half from my home, and here in the yard was a tiny little baby white rabbit.
Oh, no.
And she picked him up and brought him home to me, and I put him in this room, which he promptly destroyed. They're very destructive. And I started checking around to get him home. And everyone was going to put him someplace in a cage. And this rabbit and I bonded. I would walk into the room, he'd run to me.
Aww.
And we'd play, and rabbits, when they're happy, they'd jump in the air and kind of twist their bodies. And he would run around the room, and I'd chase him, I'd run, and he'd chase me. And I decided, well, nobody's going to put this rabbit in anybody's cage. So I kept it. And I thought, now he's going to get lonely. So I went to a rescue group and got a little black rabbit. And she's his honey bunny, and they are absolutely adorable. And I've just turned this one room over to them. And I had just bought a great big screen television for this room. It was going to become a kind of a television room, and there's no other room in my home where I can use a television this size. So it sits there unused, and they have destroyed the wiring in it, and if I ever try to use it, well, it has to be rewired. Yeah, man has to have his priorities.
Well, I'm glad you do have those priorities.
Now, are they spayed or neutered?
Oh, absolutely. I don't want rabbits. I have all the rabbits I need.
Very good.
Well, you're one of those people, you and Dick Clark, I don't know what you guys are ingesting, but you just don't simply age. I just found out that you've celebrated your 80th in, what, 2003?
I'm 81 right now, and I will be 82 in December of this year.
You are. I hope I am as good sounding and as good looking when I get to that age, too. You have put together the DJT Foundation, which can be found at djtfoundation.org. What is that about?
I will tell you all about it, but before I do, let me hark back to your remark about not aging.
Okay.
The audience, during commercials, I talk with the audience, and they often ask me questions. And they ask me what I think is the secret to fight off aging. And I tell them that I think that it is nutrition, exercise, and booze. And I get rousing applause with that. Not from people who are going to exercise or be concerned about nutrition, but it's just that there are drunks there who are happy about the idea.
Well, I have a feeling that it also may have something to do with the animals, because they're supposed to reduce your stress level and make you feel younger all around anyway.
Well, I think they do. There's no doubt in my mind but what they do. I think that people who do not have pets of one sort or another, I don't mean necessarily dogs or cats, they can have goats, burros, whatever, but someone to show affection for beyond their wives, their children, and so on, I think they're missing a lot in life. And particularly, as I do, people who live alone. I think that without some animals around us, that we're missing an awful lot of life.
When did you discover that?
Before I can remember. I can't remember not having animals around me, but I know that some people don't have animals until they're older. Until they're at least adults. But I did. I was fortunate. I had animals all my life and intend to have them as long as I live.
Is there a particular animal that rings a bell, that has a certain story, maybe was the first animal that you really connected with?
No, not one that I first connected. Well, I can remember one puppy that I got before I ever started school. A neighbor had a litter of puppies. That was before I was doing my television plug, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother said I could have one of them, and I went and looked at them, and one of them was blind in one eye. Somebody had thrown a rock and hit this poor puppy in the eye. So I chose that one. I remember that. And I have such sympathy all my life for any animal that's lost an eye, because this little puppy made such an impression on me.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Another story, more recently, I was going over to see a friend who lives out in Riverside, and as I was driving along, I saw what I thought was a dead a body that was dead in the street, and I went on to her home, And when I got there, I told her about it, and I said, I think we ought to go back and check. I said, I'm sure that dog is dead, but I want to just see it.
Uh-huh.
And so we went back, and the dog was dead.
Hmm.
Oh.
But in some bushes nearby, I heard this another dog growling. And I realized that this dog was the friend of the dog that had been killed and was there protecting the body.
Oh.
And I tried to get him to get in the car, and he wouldn't get in the car.
Oh, he didn't want to leave the body, did he?
And he didn't want to leave the body. So I picked up the body and put it in the car.
And he followed.
And he jumped right in the car.
Wow.
And I took him home, and he was with me for years and years. In fact, I use a picture to this day. I named him Federico. I live in an old Spanish house, and I used to give all my animals Spanish names. His name was Federico. And CBS one year wanted to do something for me, and they had a national spay-neuter drive, and we used that. I don't know, you may have seen the picture of me with this dog,
mm-hmm.
Federico.
Oh.
He was just a wonderful animal.
So what's the DJT Foundation all about?
Now back to that.
Yes.
my wife's name was Dorothy Jo, DJ,
mm-hmm.
and my mother's name was Matilda. Everybody called her Tilly. So in their memory, both of them loved animals, I named it the DJT Foundation. And it subsidizes spay and neuters all over the country.
Oh, great.
And works through organizations that can get two types of grants. One is a grant for a spay-neuter clinic that's doing low-cost spay-neuters,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
or for an organization that is subsidizing spay-neuters that are performed by veterinarians in the community. And we're in every state in the union now. Fortunately, we were approached by groups and word of mouth, I suppose, was a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all over the puppy mill area. We're in Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and, of course, in the South there are puppy mills. In North Carolina, we're all over North Carolina, Tennessee. But we're in every state in the union, as I said. Growing by leaps and bounds.
I can understand that. I was, I believe I started the same way you did. I used to do morning radio for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I would make the big six figures and everything, got to my mid-30s and decided I wanted to do a little something more with my life, and decided to start this show to educate, to reduce the surrenders and ultimately the unnecessary euthanasias. And what we did is we really made sure the show was in the southeast part of our country where there are a lot of puppy mills and there's still...
Georgia.
Yes, that whole area there. And if you're listening today in one of those areas, you've come a long way. We have a long way to go still. There's still about 5 million animals that are being put to sleep a year. One other question. You put together or you have, I guess you've made a donation to a law school. Is that correct?
Yes, several of them.
What is that about?
Well, Fremantle Media, which owns The Price is Right,
yes.
said that they wanted to do something particularly nice for me, and they asked me what I'd like. And I said nothing would make me happier than to have a Bob Barker Endowment Fund for the study of animal rights law at Harvard.
Wow.
And they said, well, Harvard is Harvard. Let's see what we can do. So they called, and Harvard was enthusiastic about the idea.
Great.
So one of their executives and I went back there, and we made the presentation of the endowment fund, and Harvard publicized it all over the country, all in various parts of the world, as a matter of fact. There was such a positive reaction from the animal rights community and from the legal community
uh-huh.
that I thought, Barker, this is a way to go. As I said, that was the first one was established by Fremantle Media. But I established then, I thought I would do it geographically.
Mm-hmm.
I established one at Stanford in Northern California, one I talked with a couple of attorneys and made a list of what were considered top-notch law schools in the United States.
Uh-huh.
And I approached them. One at a time. And so now I have an endowment fund at Stanford in Northern California, UCLA in Southern California. Of course, there is the one at Harvard, so then I moved down to Columbia University in New York, down in the South to Duke, And I've established one at Northwestern in the Midwest. And I will be establishing more as time goes on.
You're a great man.
That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. I hardly am a great man, but it's a pretty good idea.
The fur flap in 1987. I admire you so much for this. It was the Miss USA pageant, and what was the deal there?
I had been doing the Miss USA and the Miss Universe pageants for years. As I became aware of the cruelty to animals in the production of fur, I tried to get them to stop giving away fur coats as prizes.
Uh-huh.
And in 1987, they agreed they would, the next year, in 88. So I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to do the Miss USA pageant,
mm-hmm.
knowing that we would give away a fur coat as a prize. But when I got there, I was appalled to learn that they were going to have the swimsuit contestants make their entrances wearing fur coats over their swimsuits and then slip out of the furs and model for the judges.
Oh, wow.
So I went to the director of the pageant, and I said, I can't be on that stage surrounded by these women in fur coats. I said, I have gone all over the United States speaking out against fur.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they understood my position, but they had contracts, and they had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fur there. There were going to be 12 of them make their entrances that way.
Mm-hmm.
So this discussion of ours went on for 2 or 3 days. And fortunately for the anti-fur campaign, it leaked to the press. And as you just said, the fur flap became front page news all over the country and on national television and on radio, and people who had never been aware of the cruelty to animals or had really thought about it, been mm-hmm. cognizant of it, they for the first time thought, well, here's a guy going to give up a job doing these two specials about fur. Well, now what? And they started thinking about it, and it was the best thing that could have possibly happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that after 87, hold on just one. Come in. Okay, come on in. I'm sorry to interrupt. Hi, good to have you here. I have a gentleman here checking the heat and air conditioning. He had to come in for just a moment.
It's that time of year to get all those.
I'll pick up where I was.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more on Animal Radio and Bob Barker. Stick around.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Meantime, get your fix at animalradio.com.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you've tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Final Smoke free trial offer is. Final Smoke is a complete all-natural stop smoking system, and when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of Final Smoke capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of Triple Trim Weight Loss, just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Final Smoke. Call 1-800-684-5908. 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited-time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
Underwriting comes from the American Anti-Vivisection Society. Learn more by calling 1-800-SAY-AAVS.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
You're listening to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network, and our special guest is Bob Barker. We were, before the break, we were talking about the big fur flap.
As I said, this was the best thing that ever happened to the anti-fur campaign, in that these people became, many people became aware of the cruelty to animals and the production of fur, and as a result, fur sales went into decline, not just as a result of this, but as a result of a lot of people who worked hard to expose this cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
They went into a decline in 1987 from which they had never recovered.
Very good.
And that in spite of the fact that they have spent thousands and thousands, probably millions of dollars in public relations trying to build fur sales back to what it once was, and they have not succeeded.
Good.
And nothing could please me and thousands of other animal rights advocates more.
And not to mention that because you didn't do the pageant, that I believe it was that one year.
I did the pageant that year. That year, that was 87, they agreed to use synthetic furs instead of real furs, which was announced at the time on the air by me, and that they were synthetic. And all was well. But then in 88, they reneged on their promise to stop giving away a fur as a prize, and I did resign from the pageants then.
And the ratings went right down.
That caused another fur flap. That was fur flap two. It didn't get the attention the first go-around did, but it helped. It helped.
Oh, good.
Well, you're a man of your convictions, and I admire that. And I use you as a mentor and hope that I am as respected as you are someday, because a lot of people wouldn't give up that opportunity, but you did, and you stood for what you believed in, and that's fabulous.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I sincerely appreciate your remark.
We know you're a busy guy. We're going to let you go, but before you go, I want you to end with your line that you use on The Price is Right about spaying and neutering, if you could.
It's the only way for me to end.
Okay.
Bob Barker reminding you, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered.
Beautiful.
Yay. There's more Animal Radio on the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
I'm talking about my dog Chance and what a great product Comfort Zone has been. He had a lot of severe anxiety, separation problems. He redecorated my house several times for me when I had left him alone. Through a friend who gave me as a gift Comfort Zone, I started using it about 9 months ago. At one point, I ran out of it for a month, and I saw a definite change in his personality right away. He's a small terrier-type dog, and he has a high energy level. Without it, he just is out of control. He can't seem to control himself. I work nights, and I had hoped that I would be able to leave Chance by himself. Before I got Comfort Zone, that was totally impossible. He had even jumped through one of the windows in my home and came down to where I work. After using Comfort Zone, I'm able to leave him in the evenings. He's a very much calmer dog. Even in the daytime, he's more relaxed. It's a godsend. I don't know what we would do without him. I think it's a great product, and it's really changed our lives. Comfort Zone is a godsend for us.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year and is 100% tax deductible. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
One of the best sellers right now on Amazon.com, and I imagine just about everywhere, is a book called Dog World and the Humans Who Live There. And it's kind of an intriguing book. It's definitely an intriguing book. We have the author, Alfred Gingold, on the line with us. Hi, Alfred. How are you doing?
Fine. Nice to be here.
We're calling you in New York City or something like that?
New York City. Yeah, that's right. Brooklyn. You got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that.
Hey, I'm a Jersey girl here.
Jersey?
Yeah, I'm Joyzy.
Well, that's good. It's good. You got the right sound. I'm glad to know I'm talking with people that know what's what.
So what's the deal? You found yourself succumbing to this undeniably endearing behavior of your family Norfolk Terrier.
Now, who said it was aberrant? Only somebody who doesn't know from terriers would say that it was aberrant. He's just simply a dog with his own mind. What little there is of it, but it's distinctly his own.
You realize there's a whole world out there, kind of a whole society of just weird dog people, huh?
Well, yes, that was sort of the big discovery that prompted me to write this book. After we got our dog, we were chatting with one of our neighbors on the street, and he established a strong bond with our dog George because he always has a pocket full of cookies. And he looked up at us when he was playing with George, and he said, "If you folks just moved to the neighborhood." And I said, "Well, no, actually, we've lived here for 13 years. George is new." He'd never noticed us before. And, of course, I realized once we got the dog that there were people that I was noticing that I'd never noticed before. Mostly I noticed them because they were with the dogs.
Well, it's sort of like getting a car. You never notice a certain make of car until you buy one yourself, and then you see them everywhere they are. And
that's quite right. But the difference, I think, between the people, the dog people, is that I think there are more people obsessed with their dogs than there are people obsessed with their cars.
Oh, absolutely. A whole echelon, a whole society that you sort of are part of that club once you get the dog.
Absolutely. I walk around the streets now, and after a lifetime of living here in the city and being a people watcher the way we all are here, I very rarely look above anybody's knees now as I'm looking at the dogs.
Well, okay, so I see that you write about or pontificate about the urban art of scooping poop. Tell us a little bit about that.
There's
well,
a way to
exactly
do it.
Exactly how much do you want to know here on this family show?
Well, that there's a way to do it with grace and flair.
Exactly. Grace, flair, and poise. And one thing that helps, I noticed that a lot of people in my neighborhood who have to pick up after their dog, they kind of put this smile on their face, like, there's nothing I'd rather be doing. And I don't really think that's the appropriate look. I mean, I don't think you should look like you're about to undergo surgery, but I think you want to move gracefully, bending from the hips, you know, moving down, gentle scoop, into the bag, and goodbye. You know, you just act like you're what you are, you know, a helping hand here. And you know, it's there's been a study released that shows that city people who have to pick up after their dogs end up with healthier dogs because they are, as you might say, in closer touch with what's affecting them.
I see that you'll discuss the state of your dog's bowels really to anyone.
Absolutely. What would you like to know?
Not today.
I was today.
Now, is there's proper etiquette when your dog encounters another dog and they go on to the butt sniffing? There's proper etiquette that you should?
Yes. Whatever you do, don't start sniffing the other person's butt.
No, that's not good.
Unless you know them.
Good tip.
You know, and the main thing that I've noticed is that there are dozens, possibly hundreds of people in my immediate neighborhood whose dogs I know by name, but whose human names I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that it would be an imposition to ask. I mean, nobody, they're not curious about it. They won't, you know, most people I've noticed around here simply don't notice you if you're not with your dog. If you know people from the park and the other places where you walk your dog, they don't even see you when you're not with the dog. But I certainly, there are many, many people whose names I just don't know. But so when I see them, what, you know, hi, Dexter's person, you know, it's kind of awkward, but it's not nearly as awkward as asking their names would be. They might think I was making a pass.
Well, you pretty much go over the edge. You'll fuss over your dog. You'll do anything for your dog. A play group, isn't that a little bit much?
What do you mean?
you actually dropped it. What,
you got a problem?
No, I have no problem.
I mean, I'd have to say, you have to understand, I have a dog that craves companionship. And although my companionship is, and my son's companionship and wife's companionship are usually enough, there are times when it's just not so. Now, I work at home, and George is here. By 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it becomes clear to him that a writer's life is boring. You know, we don't go anywhere, and you know, working at home is it has certain virtues, but it requires certain discipline and commitment, which is very difficult to maintain when your dog is coming over and kind of jumping into your lap and standing at the door, sort of motioning like, "Let's go, come on." So, because I want him to have quality time and a full repertoire of acquaintance in the area, I send him to a playgroup. You got a problem with that?
No, I guess not. Not anymore, really.
Oh, boy. Put him, I want you to bring out of the closet your little item that you found on eBay.
Oh, what's this?
I want to know more about
What's this about? Well, this is a family show.
There's been a recent study has shown that people spend more on their pets than they do on candy and shoes. And I've begun to get a little hint of this. I sort of tried to keep myself back. You know, I ordered a George's a Norfolk Terrier, and I had a Norfolk Terrier calendar and a this and a that. But I got a little glass sculpture, it was supposed to be a hand-blown glass. They call them beads, but they're really 2 or 3 inches long. And the person that makes them in maybe 60 or 70 different breeds. And every one of them looks exactly the same. Looks like a little pile of semi-melted glass with eyes and a tail. The fact is that glass is not a good medium for distinguishing the subtleties of breed characteristics. So here I am with this absolutely hideous little glass thing that I bought because I thought it would look like my dog.
Uh-huh.
And I was really so embarrassed by it that I kind of didn't show it to my family because it was one of those things that you buy on eBay and then you immediately have remorse.
Guilty.
But that's the thing. But, you know, you're interested in buying? We can reach an arrangement.
This is a great book, and I think any dog lover, and even if you're not a dog lover, you should check it out. You've written a few other books, too, which escape me right now, but something about an L.L. Bean catalog or something.
I wrote items from our catalog, which was the parody of the L.L. Bean catalog that did very well in the 80s, and more recently I have a book out called Snafu University, which is a guide to America's oldest safety school, a school that anyone can get into with a check.
Very good. Dog World and the Humans Who Live There, Alfred Gingold, very funny guy. We do have, oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
We do have giveaways.
I'm going to keep one, okay?
I know you are. I'll never get that one back.
Give me your address. I'll send you buttons.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. 1-866-405-8405. 1-866-405-8405 if you want to pick up on the book. Or otherwise, head on over to Amazon.com or just about anywhere to pick up the book. It's good stuff. We appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thanks very much. Been great to talk to you.
Hold on a second. Got more Animal Radio on the way.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Meantime, get your fix at AnimalRadio.com.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
You're afraid of spiders, aren't you?
Yes.
I know whenever there's a spider in the studio or around the studio, you always ask me to come on over and remove it. Fortunately, you don't kill them.
No. You know, I have to admit I used to years ago, but then I realized that was really cruel, and they didn't do anything to me, but they just give me the creeps.
You know, spiders are our friends, and they actually are very good for getting rid of the bugs that you really want to get rid of, like fleas and ticks and stuff like that.
But what about spider bites?
Well, if you don't bite them, they won't bite you.
Okay.
And fortunately, Rayanne Cumulus, Voice of the Animals, joins us today with a little spider talk.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. Silently, she wove the words of wisdom. Some pig. Amazing. Words of such power, they would save the life of a pig named Wilbur. E.B. White was calling upon the rich history of spider when he wrote the beloved classic, Charlotte's Web. As Charlotte reflects the honored role of spider in traditional myth and story. It is spider who wove the first alphabet. Within her web of angles and geometric patterns lies the gift of recorded language, the magic of writing. In Native American thought, Spider Woman is believed to be the grandmother of all life. Spider Woman spun two lines, one to form the east and west, the other north and south. With these two intersecting lines, Spider Woman forms the directions and creates order out of chaos. Spider webs are the inspiration for dream catchers, those woven webs of yarn, silver, and feather found in cultures all over the world. Hang a dream catcher by your bed and good dreams will come to you, while bad dreams are trapped in the web where they perish in the light of dawn. Spider's thread connects the world of humans to the world of the gods and spirits. The Ashanti consider the spider a symbol of wisdom, thus their name for god, Anasi Kokroko, means the great spider, or the wise one. And West African folktales are considered a gift from God to the spider. In ancient Greece, the destiny of both human and god was in the hands of three goddesses, the Fates, one to spin, one to measure, and one to cut the threads of life. The three Norns of Norse myth do the same, weaving the web of fate for the young hero of the prose Edda, Helgi, at his birth, making the golden threads fast in the hall of the moon. In more recent myth, Samwise Gamgee battled the great spider Shelob to save Frodo and wove his destiny into that of a ring bear, if even for just a short time, while Spider-Man spins veils of protection for those he loves. The Greek goddess Athena represents both wisdom and weaving. There was once a young girl named Arachne who was so gifted and proud of her own weaving that she challenged Athena to a contest. Arachne's tapestry was done perfectly and she was quite proud. But hubris was the number one no-no in ancient Greek thought, and Athena was so angry at Arachne's pride that she beat the girl with her loom, then took pity on her and changed her into a spider. Arachne is still with us today in the word for spider, arachnid. A popular website, The Voice of the Shuttle, takes its name from Sophocles' play about the myth of Polymela, a young woman who is savagely violated, her tongue cut out to prevent her from ever sharing the horrific events. Desperate to tell her story, Polymela used the one thing she had, her loom, to weave the scenes of violence into a tapestry which is later displayed in a terrible revenge taken on her attacker. The hidden power of Polymela's loom is a reminder that Spider will weave a web of fate for all those who get caught in her web. One reason Hindus and Buddhists portray the spider as Maya, the weaver of the web of illusion. Spider is shaped like the number 8, the sign of infinity. Her body represents the infinite possibilities of creation. From Charlotte to Shelob, Spider-Woman to Polymela, Spider's presence evokes encouragement that no matter what the situation, wisdom exists in the power to create new alternatives, weave new energies, spin new stories. Leave that spider in your spout just where she is. Not only does she have a story to share, perhaps she is urging you to create your own. Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.org. For Voice of the Animal, this is Rayanne Cumulos.
You see, spiders are our friends.
Okay, I've got a different perspective of spiders now.
They'd be good. They'd be good. Okay, the show is just raced by once again.
Boy, like the blink of an eye.
And of course, anything you heard today, you can get at animalradio.com, plus listen to actually more Animal Radio and get information about the big cartridge drive, which you got to tell everyone about. This is your inkjet cartridge. Everybody has an inkjet printer.
Yes.
Or a laser printer, yeah.
Usually several.
And when those cartridges are spent, usually, what do, Judy?
You throw them in the trash and they end up in the landfills.
You don't have to do that anymore. If you like this programming, you can help support this programming by sending us your ink cartridges or your laser cartridges or even your old cell phones. And you can send them to Post Office Box 129, Kanab, that's K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741. And when you do that, we actually give them to a company who gives us money for that so that we can afford programming, to this programming that you hear today. Now, we get about $2 per cartridge, sometimes up to about $12 per cartridge. If you don't remember the address, you can head on over to animalradio.com. Get the address there and send us those cartridges. Hold on to them until you get a bunch of them and then send them on in to us. Now, if you send us six, for every six that you send us, we'll send you something. Isn't that pretty good? We'll send you either a dog toy for your dog, a cat toy for your cat, or something for you. We have human toys, too. No iguana toys yet, but we're working on that, okay? So send us your inkjet cartridges, your laser toner cartridges,
your cell phones.
Your cell phones, if you're upgrading to one of those new 3G with the pictures and all of that. We want your old cell phones, okay? Also, next week we are coming to you live from California.
The Pet Friendly America Tour continues.
Yeah, we can't tell you where because, frankly, we don't know where yet. We have some ideas, but we'll be live from California. We want to thank a special sponsor, Frontline.
Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Without their support, of course, Animal Radio wouldn't be here for you. So we thank them very much. I can't even read my notes. What I'm supposed. We want to thank Bob Barker for joining us today.
Great show. Great interview.
He's an awesome guy. And, of course, what he says. In fact, you know what? I think I have a drop around here of what he says.
Oh, play it again. Well, we can end this
maybe
show.
I don't. Well, here's the deal. If you're going to go out and get a pet, remember to spay or neuter your pet.
There you go. Do not purchase a pet.
Yeah, adopt them. There's no reason to go to a breeder and buy a pet.
Or
you can
a pet
adopt
store.
Any breed you want.
Yes.
From a breed rescue and all that information. Everything that you've heard today, once again, is at animalradio.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next weekend right here on Animal Radio.
Bye-bye.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe, this is Animal Radio Network.
Oh. Huh? We're on the air.
Oh.
Sorry. I was getting this little animal giddy mood, especially today we have Earl Holloman on the show. You know Earl.
Earl Holloman.
Who is he?
He played on, you've seen him on Policewoman with Angie Dickinson.
Yes, he was the guy, right?
Yeah, he was the guy.
And also today we have...
Wendy Christensen.
Oh, from Cat Fancy Magazine.
Yes.
And my favorite part of the show is when we say hello to you. Hi, Animal Radio.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
Jan.
How are you doing, Jan?
Hanging in there, babe. Hanging in there.
Hanging in there. Where are you calling from?
South Lake Tahoe.
Listening on KOWL, huh?
You bet your booties.
Hi, Jan.
Hello. Nice to hear your voices.
You too.
Thank you.
So how are you doing today? What's on your mind?
Well, Miss Pie Lafitte. She's a little, she's about a year old, Lopso Opso.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I have, half a dozen or a dozen, more like a dozen, half whiskey barrels full of soil. And I put plants in them in the spring, but Miss Pie goes out in the snow and jumps into the whiskey barrels, comes in all mud.
Oh, no.
And she's eating some of the dirt. And I never had a dog eat dirt before, but I've never had a dog like her before either.
How much dirt is she eating?
I don't know. She just noses around in it, and I see her eating. And like I say, she comes in her feet all muddy, and I just had all the carpets cleaned.
Yeah. Is she eating her regular food, too?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And is she just starting to eat dirt?
Yes. Because the snow's gone off the tops.
Yeah. This is the first time you've seen her do it, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And has anything changed in her food diet?
No.
And can you tell me about how much dirt you think she's eating?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe she just smells something in the dirt that smells good to her, and so...
Yeah, well, it's actually been known to happen.
It's called pica.
Pica, is that it?
It's pica when they eat rocks and dirt and...
Sometimes feces.
Yeah, sometimes even feces.
Well, she doesn't do that, and no rocks. Well, it's just, there's no rocks in the barrels.
Yeah.
It's dirt.
It's really unknown why they do that. Sometimes they think it's out of boredom.
Well, this is sack dirt I get.
What kind of dirt? Sack dirt? What is sack dirt?
Well, I have them bring me usually half a dozen big sacks of dirt.
Yeah.
It's all sealed off. You know, it's pure, more, it's better dirt for plants.
So there's probably a little bit of fertilizer in it.
It's probably, I don't know what they've got in it.
Yeah, that probably has a lot to do with it. As long as she's not eating a lot of it, you shouldn't be too concerned. As it does happen, it is fairly common.
It is fairly common. There's really no known reason why dogs do this. If she is ingesting a lot of the soil or rocks.
No, she's not.
Okay. If it's a small amount, it's really no concern.
Okay.
Like I said, a lot of dogs do this. But if you feel she's getting a little too much, you might want to take her to the vet and,
have him check her over and make sure she's okay.
Now, as far as dragging the dirt in the house, that's a whole different thing.
On her feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she has to walk across some snow before she gets here, so it's not quite as bad as it could be.
Now, that's a fairly snowy part of the country. You have a lot of snow right now still?
Oh, yes. Well, no, it's going down. It's only about half a foot high now.
What would you say the temperature is there in South Lake Tahoe today?
In the 60s.
In the 60s.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it isn't. Very nice. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to send you a special package for just calling in for, what was her name again?
Miss Pie.
Miss Pie.
M-P-I with a straight line over the I.
Yeah. I'm afraid to ask how she got her name.
Miss Pie Lafitte.
Yeah, Miss Pie Lafitte. We're going to send her a little package for listening to Animal Radio, okay?
And she got her name because I'm a nutty gal.
Yeah, you sound like a nutty gal, and that's how we prefer them.
Yes.
Oh, hold on a second.
If I couldn't laugh, honey, you might as well dig me a hole.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that's how you get through life. You need to be able to laugh. Hold on a second, Jan, okay?
Okay, Cookie.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Giving me a problem today.
Yeah, and you don't even have ears on them yet. What's the deal? I thought you were going to get ears on your headphones.
Well, you know, the only ears that I could find were devil ears.
Yeah.
I know. They were probably yours. And you know what happened when I put them on my headphones?
What?
Well, I didn't even have them on my headphones yet. I just tried them on my head.
Yes.
My cat totally freaked.
Oh, thought you were the devil, huh?
He did. He arched up his back. His tail went real fat, and he hissed at me. He's 6 years old. He has never hissed at me. He sleeps with me, and I took him off, and he would go back down. I'd put him on. He'd arch back up, and the other cats would just, you know, look at me and just keep on going. But
what's that about? Wendy Christensen?
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hi, Wendy.
We always love having you on the air. Wendy Christensen, frequent contributor to Cat Fancy and just all-around cat knowledgeable expert.
Well, I try. My cats keep teaching me new things.
Every day, huh?
Every day. Oh, well, yes.
What do you think about the devil ears on my
head? I don't know. And it was just the one particular cat?
Just the one cat. I have four cats. The other three just kind of looked at me like, yeah, it's mom. And they just walked on by.
You know, they're all so different. And it's amazing what one will pick up and another one won't.
You know, I've had hats on and things like that, and I've never gotten that reaction out of him.
Obviously, there was something that he associated with that particular shape, probably. They key in on shapes and movements.
Maybe that
particular cat had some fear experience with something of that particular shape.
Or it just looked like ears and you look like one giant cat.
Maybe he felt threatened or something. But it's interesting that it was just the one cat, but I'm not surprised because we have that kind of odd things happen all the time.
I bet you do. How many cats do you have?
We have 9.
Wow. I don't know how you do that. Your latest book, Outwitting Cats, is fabulous because there's no way to train cats. You have to outwit them pretty much.
Well, you can train them. You can clicker train them, and people have had great success clicker training cats. In fact, they have cats doing agility courses now.
Really?
Wow. I'd like
to
see that.
People didn't believe until they saw it for themselves. So cats are trainable. The way you have to get to a cat, whether to outwit him or to train him, is to make it think it's his idea.
Oh,
there you go.
Just like men.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Or kids.
Cats are, you can't force them, you can't insist, you have to persuade and point them in the right direction, but it's very important to them that they think it's all their idea.
So it's kind of like reverse psychology, what you would do for a child.
But even more complicated.
Because they're smarter.
Yeah.
Yes, they're incredibly smart. They keep reminding me of that.
I have this one problem. I'm thinking maybe you could help me out.
Okay.
We go through rolls and rolls and rolls of toilet paper here because the same cat we were just talking about just a second ago will sit by the toilet and dismantle roll after roll after roll. And I'm wondering if you have any tips for outwitting this cat.
Okay. Have you tried putting the roll in backwards?
Well, then how do I get at it?
Well, you just pull it from the back.
You should know to get it from the opposite side.
That's very smart.
That's so easy. It's too easy.
It's like
Also some devices that you can buy from janitorial supply houses It's a little hood that goes over the top of the roll.
Yeah, I've seen those at different public toilets.
Yeah, a little plastic hood or a little metal hood. That will slow down some cats.
Well, you know, he doesn't tear it up. He just, the trash can is underneath. He just sits there and paws and rolls it all out into the trash can.
Yeah, you have to make it a little less interesting for him to do that. And by putting some sort of hood on it, you could also just mount it higher on the wall so he can't reach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to make sure I can still reach it when I'm sitting down.
Right.
Well, kind of a short lady.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are ways, or you can just close the bathroom door, which is probably the best way of all.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's very clever, putting the roll on backwards. I'd never thought of that. Such an obvious solution.
Now, I have one cat that when I did that with paper towels, actually, she was a paper towel unroller. she figured it out in about a half a second and just reached around back and pulled it from the other direction. So, she's a particularly smart cat, so. But, you know, that's stage one, and if they don't get past that, then you can try the next step. And there's always a plan B and a plan C. That's why I put so many options in my book, because some cats are, you know, easier to outwit than others, and some of them you have to try several things before something works. So there's a lot of options for different cats and different situations.
Yeah, there's always one, it seems like. Always one.
Oh, we have four. What about photographs? We have, is one of our cats appropriately named, because she licks photographs.
Yes, the licking of photographs is a fairly common cat weirdness.
Why?
There's something in the emulsion that seems to appeal to some cats. It's probably not very good for them, so you probably shouldn't ought to let them do that.
Oh, I keep them away. Every once in a while I forget.
Yeah, there's some cats that just can't resist those.
She'll just go crazy.
There's something in the emulsion that, it's like with the cats that go after plastic bags.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Plastic bags are, some plastic bags are made with something that has a fish emulsion.
Huh.
And so they, we can't tell, obviously, but to a cat or a cat that's sensitive to that, that's incredibly attractive.
Hmm.
And these guys will eat plastic bags, and of course that's not
No, that's
safe.
Not good at all.
They can get blockages from that. So if you have a plastic bag eating cat, you really do have to take pains to keep those things away from him.
No, ours just like to play in them. I think they like the crinkle noise.
Yeah, playing and crinkling is fine, but some cats will just eat the darn thing.
Can't do that. You know, I got to tell you that every time some curious behavior happens, we write down a list, and then we call you.
Well, you know, actually, I've just set up a website for the book called www.outwittingcats.com, and there is a link to an email where people can send me their cat questions.
Oh, very good. What kind of questions have you been getting recently?
Oh, behavior questions of all sorts. A lot of them have to do with introducing new cats, cats that start fighting for no reason, cats that aren't adjusting to changes. A lot of problems that people have. And I try to give them options and tips and help them through the situation and see if we can't make everybody happy again.
Well, since this is my multi-million-dollar station and multi-million-dollar radio show, we're going to be helping me today.
Okay.
I have, has a serious problem that I don't know what it is. It's under her chin. She has these little black, they look like flea or tick or flea
debris
left under her chin. I wipe them away. They keep coming back.
Feline acne. You need to take her to the vet.
Feline acne?
Yes, feline acne. Sometimes it can get very serious.
Oh, well, why doesn't it look like human acne?
Because it's a cat. It's not a human.
What causes it?
It can be an allergy. It can just be an overreaction to something. What are her food bowls and water bowls made out of?
Well, they're mostly ceramic.
Because there's a lot of cats that are allergic to plastic, and they'll develop all sorts of things on their chins and chests from leaning over those balls.
Huh.
But feline acne can come from a lot of different things, and there's ways to treat it. It's a veterinarian problem.
How does the veterinarian usually treat it? Is it antibiotic?
I believe it's more like a topical cream or something that they put on there.
Hmm. Now, we put the dry food is usually kept in ceramic, but sometimes the canned, we put it in paper bowls so we can toss them away. Or do they have a reaction to paper, the paper bowls?
I've never known them to have a reaction to paper, no, but it could be. Because if you watch them while they're eating, or especially while they're drinking, they'll lean way over the bowl, and their chest and their chin will touch whatever the bowl is. And some cats that are very sensitive to plastic will get these crusty granulomas, you know, miliary dermatitis on their chest and on their chin.
That's some big words there. I'm wondering, could it be hormonal? Because this particular cat is, although spayed, very hormonal.
I have a boy like that, yeah. He doesn't know he's fixed, yeah. it very well could be. I don't know. I mean, again, that's a medical problem, and I'm not a veterinarian.
But go to the vet on that one.
Oh, huh? Yeah, definitely. And it's a common problem with cats, especially certain breeds tend to get it quite a lot.
Hmm. Which breeds are those?
Persians seem to get it a lot. Mm-hmm. Something about the Persians end up with a lot of acne.
Well, we have.
But it is something that's fairly easily treatable, but that's a medical thing, not a behavioral thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Christensen, it is so great to have you on the air again. We should do this on a regular basis. The book's called Outwitting Cats, Tips, Tricks, and Techniques for Persuading the Felines in Your Life that What You Want is Also What They Want. How's the book doing?
I hope it's doing well. It seems to be on sale in a lot of places, so that's a good sign.
It's available on Amazon.com and just about anywhere you go. It's a great book. It's about 300 pages long of great amounts of information that you've compiled over the years. We appreciate your time, Wendy.
And please send questions to my email from the website.
Which is?
www.outwittingcats.com.
That's so easy to remember. We'll put a link from animalradio.com. Wendy, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Coming up, National Pet Week, May 1st through 7th. But, of course, you know, it's National Pet Week here 52 weeks
all the time, yes, year-round.
And on the phone we have Lynn Butterworth. Is it Lynn?
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's Lynn, yes.
Hi, Lynn. How you doing?
Just great.
Butterworth as in the syrup, huh?
Exactly.
You work for a company called Geldwin, which they make windows, don't they?
Yes, we do. Geldwin is the world's largest manufacturer of reliable windows and doors.
Well, you see, I knew that because our windows here are actually Geldwin windows.
Terrific.
And now how are you guys tied in with National Pet Week? What's that all about?
Well, we are having a most reliable pet contest that Geldwin is sponsoring, and the deadline for entries is May 13th. So National Pet Week from May 1st through 7th is kind of when our real enthusiasm is building, and we're encouraging the maximum number of entries.
Okay, National Pet Week and the Reliable Pet Contest. Now, of course, this makes me think, is this a pet that's on time for dinner? Is this a pet that brings in the paper every morning? What do you mean by reliable pet?
Well, reliability is something that many people describe their pets as. And we have a panel of 6 judges that will decide which ones are the most reliable pets in 2 categories. One is the nonprofit Humane Society or Animal Shelter, and the winner of that will receive a grand prize of a $5,000 donation.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yes, and the winner of the individual category will receive a fabulous pet playhouse with Geldwin windows and doors.
Now, I'm looking at the picture right now, and since
isn't
this
that
is
awesome?
Yeah, I'm going to hold the picture up to the microphone so the listeners can see it. No, what we'll do is we'll put a link on the animalradio.com website, and you can see the picture yourself. It is a beautiful 2-story doghouse, it looks like. Have you seen it?
I have seen pictures in progress. I'm hoping to go up next week and see it.
Where is it right now?
It's being built near the Seattle area in Washington.
Okay, now how can we enter this contest?
Well, the complete rules and entry form is on our website, which is www.geldwen.com. That's Geldwen.
Okay, and when we get there, is it something that anybody could enter pretty easily, or do we have to jump through some hoops? I mean, I would understand if you have to jump through hoops. It's a pretty nice prize.
It's really pretty easy to enter. We require the names of the nominator and the pets and the description. The pet does have to be alive. It can't be somebody that we're remembering fondly in our memories, but we do want a pet that's alive today. And it just requires a 200-word description of why your pet is the most reliable.
And this can be for a cat, too, is that correct?
Yes. We're very careful not to discriminate against animals.
I don't want you to be specious.
Well, we have very reliable cats here around the studio. We can rely on them to grab our seat the minute we get up.
Yeah, they
to
eat our food, to beg for food.
Well, we had a lot of interest from a ferret association in Northern Ohio too.
Oh, wow. So they're eligible too, huh?
Really, any pet who its owner believes is the most reliable pet.
Now, how does a window company get involved with pets?
Well, reliability for real life is what we promise to our customers for our windows and doors. And most homeowners are also pet owners. And so we felt that this would be a way of making our promise of reliability tangible to people.
Oh, I get it. So you're tying in the reliability of the windows that you make with the reliability of the animals.
Right, because the people share their homes with their animals, and what better way of associating the concept of reliability than with your most reliable pet. Banfield's going to be providing some prizes for the other entrants, so we're looking forward to their involvement as well.
Oh, well, this just looks fabulous. So what's the website again if somebody wants to enter?
www.geldwen.com, J-E-L-D dot or hyphen W-E-N, that's J-E-L-D hyphen W-E-N, and there's also instructions on the website about how to enter if you'd prefer to enter by mail.
Yeah, some people don't have that internet access, but I got to say that Gelled Win, unless you've seen the label on the window, you sort of don't know how to spell it. So once again, it's J-E-L-D
hyphen
W-E-N.
Right, J-E-L-D hyphen W-E-N.
And we'll also put a link from the animalradio.com website, if you don't mind.
That's great. I can give you the address if you think some of your listeners. We have gotten a few entries in by mail, although most are coming in over the website.
Why don't you go ahead and give us the address? Everybody get your pens and pencils. And if you're driving, don't worry. When you get home, you go to the animalradio.com site. We'll have the address there, too. What is the address?
The address for mailed entries is CMD Public Relations, that's our agency in Portland, 1732 Northwest Quimby, Q-U-I-M-B-Y, Portland, Oregon, 97209.
Very good. CMD also a very good public relations firm, too.
They're great.
I just throw that in there.
They thought of this concept. I must give them credit. We loved it.
By all means. Well, we have the phones ringing already about this, and we'll go to the phones in just a second to find out and answer questions about this. And once again, we thank you so much, Lynn, for coming on, telling us about this. And if you have a reliable pet, why not enter? The deadline is coming up. It is, what is the deadline?
May 13th.
May 13th. That is a Friday, isn't it?
Oh, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
So that's a good thing to look forward to on Friday the 13th.
Yes, and the deadline is at noon Pacific Daylight Time, so you want to get those entries in as soon as possible. Miss Lynn Butterworth, we appreciate you taking time to join us today.
Thank you so much, and keep those entries coming.
Beautiful. That sounds like a good contest.
Oh, it's a neat little playhouse.
See, we're going to put a picture up on the website for you. Coming up in just a few minutes, Earl Holliman, the great actor from Police Woman. You'll recognize him if you see him. You could head over to the website. We'll post a picture so you can say, oh, that's the guy they have on the radio.
Find out what he's doing today.
He'll be on the air with us in just a few minutes talking about Actors and Others for Animals, a whole association that is sort of standing behind the animals, animal advocates. Also, before we take a quick break, I want to remind you that we are collecting your laser cartridges, your inkjet cartridges, and your old cell phones. They are worth money to us, and they keep great programming and the mega adoptions, all these events that we put together, they keep them going. So we need your old inkjet cartridges or your laser cartridges, and you can send them to us at Post Office Box 129. I'm losing my voice. Post Office Box 129, Kanab, Utah, 84741. And, of course, that address is at the website, animalradio.com. If you don't have internet access, you can call us at 1-866-405-8405. You can actually call us at that number anytime, not even just during the show, but all throughout the week. We can answer your questions, give you the addresses. These cartridges are worth about $2 to each. Each one of them is worth...
Go ahead. Let me take except for Epson.
Oh, yeah. We don't take Epson cartridges. Send us six of them, and we'll send you a dog toy or a cat toy or a person toy. All the information at animalradio.com. We'll be back with Earl Holliman in just a minute right here on Animal Radio. And welcome back to Animal Radio on Animal Radio Network. I've got to give you the kudos. You don't have any headphones?
Yes, I do. I'm just turning down your volume.
I'm too darn loud for you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I got to give you the kudos week after week. You just bring them in.
I just keep doing it, don't I?
All the celebs.
All the great people, everybody in the animal world, they're here on Animal Radio.
And you're working on Oprah.
I'm working on Oprah.
And the reason we're bringing them on is because these are all people that just love animals. There's a great organization called Actors for Animals. And I'll tell you why this hits home for me. First of all, it's very hard to get the public's attention about the plight of homeless animals.
Yes.
When you put an actor up front, it's much easier.
People listen.
And Earl Holliman, you'll remember him. I remember him, at least, from the Andy Dickinson policewoman.
Policewoman, oh, yes. We're showing our age here.
Really? It wasn't that long ago.
That was
I'm only 15, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, uh-huh.
Earl Holliman is with us this morning. Good morning, Earl.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. You're in L.A.?
Yes, I am.
You actually created Actors for Animals. Is that correct? Are you the president? What is your affiliation with?
No. It was formed in 1971. I'll tell you about that. But I didn't join them until 1973.
Okay, so you are president.
And I've been president since 1976.
I knew you were the big cheese there.
That's showing my age, too.
He's the big dog.
What? How did it start, anyway?
Well, first of all, it's called Actors and Others for Animals.
Actors and Others for Animals.
That's right.
So it doesn't have to be just actors.
No, it doesn't. Not at all. What happened was that wonderful actor Richard Basehart and his wife Diana Basehart were driving along the freeway, and they saw somebody just dump a dog, a live dog, out the window on the freeway. And they were so incensed that they said that we've got to get together. We've got to get some people together. We've got to do something about, you know, bringing to the attention of the American public the plight of animals in this country. So they formed something along with other actors and people who were not actors, that hence the name Others. And they've been doing something ever since. Of course, Basehart is no longer with us, but he died a number of years ago. But shortly thereafter, after they formed it, Doris Day joined the group, and she was kind of like their figurehead for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I joined the group, she was then one of the two vice presidents. And Richard Carlson, not the actor Richard Carlson, but Richard Carlson, who was the Peabody Award-winning TV journalist, and also later who became the, under Reagan, he became the ambassador to the Seychelles Islands. He was the president when I joined. I became vice president after a while, and then when Richard left, I was made president, so I've been there ever since.
What made you join?
Well, you know how it is with people who love animals. They sort of all, they're like magnets. They sort of, they dry, or honey the flies, you know. We all are drawn to each other. And the vet to whom I was going at that time was on the board. And he said, you know, you're so involved with animals, and I was, you know, rescuing animals, et cetera. He said, you've got to join our group. So I went to a meeting, and I've been there ever since.
The rest is history.
Yeah. What kind of activities do Actors and Others for Animals partake in?
Well, first of all, we're an animal welfare organization. We get anywhere from 100 to 300 calls a day for help, mostly financial assistance.
Wow.
Many elderly people and people who are infirm, the only warm body they could have next to is a dog or a cat.
Right.
And many times they can't afford to feed them properly, let alone pay for vet bills. So that's what we do. I mean, we furnish them food. We are the leading spay and neuter organization in California, have been for many, many years.
And what does that mean?
We have been spaying and neutering, paying to spay and neuter for all these many years since, you know, that was the big thing. Since 1971, that was the big push. There are so many animals that are brought into the world and just disposed of, like you know, like our throwaway society. And we realized long ago that the best way to prevent all that is to keep people from letting their animals just breed indiscriminately bring animals into the world, puppies and kittens into the world, nobody wanted, you know. So we've been taking care of that, paying for that for years. As a matter of fact, we have a pit bull program. In the last 5 years, pit bulls have gotten a terrible name out here. And in the past 5 years, we had like 5,500, over 5,500 pit bulls that we've spayed or neutered absolutely free. Because that's especially, it's especially a big problem here, because there's so many people who, under the, you know, under the guise of darkness, still fighting dogs, you know. And oftentimes they just throw them away. We deal with the people who are on fixed incomes, the elderly, the people, as I said, who are infirm, AIDS patients, homeless, people who can't afford to take care of their animals. We make it possible for them to keep that animal bond.
Mm-hmm. But it's true, you still get calls from people, well-to-do people still looking for a handout?
Oh, of course. You know, let's face it, everybody wants something for free. Sure we do. You know, there's that old story about, you know, the Cadillac who drives up with the free spay or neuter, you know. But as a matter of fact, we try to be discriminate in that respect, simply because of the matter of funds. You can't take care of everybody, but you try hard. We have one lady who does nothing in the office except the medicals, and that's the big thing. Because, you know, a broken leg or a cancer situation, today veterinarians are so expensive, as we all know, veterinary care. And so that's where a lot of our money goes.
What other actors are participating in this program?
Well, a number of actors are participating. But as far as being on the board, it's a small group of board members. Betty White is on our board. Jackie Joseph was one of the founders originally. Loretta Swit, Joanne Worley, myself, and basically those are the actors on the board.
You need money, obviously, to keep these programs running. How can our listeners help? How can they donate?
Well, that's wonderful. Of course, we're always in need of funds. In fact, we just had our first big fundraiser we've had for a couple of years. We just had a big roast. We roasted Betty White, and it was wonderful. Great fun. It was wonderful fun. Yeah, it really was. It was terrific. I was very proud of the event. We used to, years ago when we first got started, we used to do something called the Actors and Others for Animals Celebrity Fair. And the last one of those that we had was 1987. We used to take over the Burbank Studio Ranch in Burbank, and the Burbank Studios. They have in Columbia, they have a joint ranch there. And we used to take over that facility, a big area. That was their back lot. And the last time we had that, we had 15,000 people there.
Wow.
A lot of people. And we had like 150 stars, including Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal and God, you name it. It was wonderful.
Why are you no longer doing that?
Because it just got out of hand. It just became so expensive to do it. Uh-huh. We did a fashion show, an all-celebrity fashion show, which was not just a fashion show. It was it was great fun. It was a real fun fashion show. Uh-huh. And we did that for about 8 years running. We're now doing, I think this roast idea has really caught on. This was, I think this was the most successful event we've ever had. It was wonderful. I try to encourage people to donate to those organizations in their own hometowns or in their home states. I mean, all of us, everywhere in this country, we all have animal problems. And we all have, so many little grassroots organizations that are formed, they try to help and try to do something, and it's so tough. They really, so many of them are hand-to-mouth. It's really tough.
Yeah.
So I try to encourage, you asked me about raising money, I try to encourage people to donate to their local organizations, you know.
I understand, yes.
That's very important.
Tell me, what kind of animals does Earl Holliman have at home?
Well, when I moved into my current house, which was a number of years ago, I had 10 dogs.
Wow.
I mean, that was not intentional. It's just that, you know, you rescue this one, and you find one here, and you try to find its home, and you don't, and you end up with it. And as it is right now, of course, through the years, most of those have passed away. I now only have 2 dogs, and I have 8 cats.
8 cats?
Yeah.
Wow.
And 2 dogs, 8 cats. I have a couple of sparrows that people brought me when they were little babies that fall out of the nest, and who think that I'm their mother and father and uncle and aunt. like to sit on my shoulder and, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay, well, I sort of don't like doing this live on the air, but I'm going to do this anyway. Of course, June 25th is our big mega adoption in Los Angeles.
Is your what?
Big mega adoption in Los Angeles. Last year was wonderful. We were able to adopt out 400 animals. June 25th at Johnny Carson Park, right across from NBC, is our location for it this year. And we would like to invite you and anybody with the organization to come on out. And, well, of course, since we're on live radio, I won't put you on the spot now.
Well, on June 25th, did you say?
June 25th.
Yeah, I will be in Laguna Niguel on June 25th.
Oh,
but
nice.
I will certainly pass all that along to the office and see if we, you know, who will be available.
That's great. We always have some great celebrities that show up for that. And it's amazing how many celebrities have a warm, fuzzy heart for their animals,
yes,
including you.
Well, it's they're just people after all, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them are lonely people, so they...
is there a website or any place that we can learn more?
As a matter of fact, please take a look at our website. I think it's actorsandothersforanimals.com, I believe. But anyway, just look up, go to your computer, go to Google or whatever, and look up Actors and Others for Animals. We have a wonderful website.
I can tell you the website. I have it right here.
What is it?
Actorsandothers.com.
Actorsandothers.com.
And we'll, of course, put a link from animalradio.com. Earl, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to visit with us today.
Well, that's very sweet. Thank you very much, and bless you for what you're doing back there.
And you too. There's more Animal Radio on the way. Stick around, you lucky devil.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Did you know that cloning your beloved pet doesn't mean you'll get two furry friends? In fact, chances of successfully cloning your pet is 0.04%. And if it worked, chances are your new friend would have cloning-related health problems. The cloning industry wants you to believe that for $50,000, you can duplicate your pet. Who's duping who? Don't be duped. Don't clone. Learn more at www.nopetcloning.org.
I got this dog, and I just moved in with my boyfriend, and Sheba was driving my boyfriend crazy. She was chewing on his shoes, tearing up the newspaper. She started chewing on the couch. My boyfriend was, you know, telling me maybe I should get rid of the dog. He can't stand her anymore, and I really don't want to get rid of Sheba. I love her to death. And then my friend mentioned this new product called Comfort Zone, and she said that I should try it because it works really good. So went out and purchased it, tried it for a couple days, and wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, and noticed a few days later that it started working. And I went shopping, came home, seeing him and Sheba asleep on the couch. At first, my boyfriend wanted me to get rid of the dog, but now it looks like I get to keep Sheba. Thanks to Comfort Zone, we all now get along really well.
If you're looking for a better way to clean the air in your home or office, you need the all-new Ozone Light. It's as simple as changing your light bulbs. The Ozone Light looks like a normal spiral type of light bulb. It screws in most standard light sockets, but it's not a normal light bulb. It's coated with titanium dioxide. It's completely safe, but this unique coating kills most airborne bacteria, mold spores, and neutralizes odors. Just one light cleans the air in an entire room and lasts 8 times longer than the normal light bulb. If you have smokers, if you have allergies, if you have pet odors, mold, or mildew, you need the Ozone Light. It will wipe them out, and you have our word. If you're not satisfied with the way the Ozone Light cleans the air in your home, simply return it for a full refund. Here's the number to call to order.
800-430-2130, 800-430-2130. Call now and receive free shipping. 800-430-2130, 800-430-2130.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
So you want to stop smoking? Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product, you just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you've tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Final Smoke free trial offer is. Final Smoke is a complete all-natural stop smoking system, and when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of Final Smoke capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of Triple Trim weight loss, just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Final Smoke. Call 1-800-684-5908. 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
This is the part of the show where I get so tired. It's just been incredible today.
Good
I
show.
Want to remind you, by the way, that we'll be live in California next week. I'd tell you exactly where we're going to be, but then I'd have to kill you.
It's a part of our pet-friendly America tour.
Actually, we don't know where we're going to be yet. But we'll tell you. Actually, you can go to the website at animalradio.com. And don't forget, you can get information about everything you heard, all our guests today, at animalradio.com, as well as hearing great interviews like Bob Barker. You can hear the recent interview with Bob Barker at the website.
And Earl Holliman.
He was Bob was fabulous, encouraging us all to drink. Because, well, you said that's his longevity. Key to longevity is he and Dick Clark get together and drink themselves to oblivion.
Well, no, then you should live a long time.
No, he's a great guy. We love him, and I aspire to be like Bob Barker someday. Also, before we head on over to Darlene Arden, I wanted to remind you about the cartridge program. Once again, we are collecting your inkjet cartridges, your laserjet cartridges, your old cell phones. You send them to us, send them at least one. Send at least one to Post Office Please. Box 129, Kanab, Utah, 84741. And the address is on the website, or you can call us at 1-866-405-8405 to get more information. Yes.
And for every six you send us, we will send you a little pet prize.
Yeah, if you have a dog.
We'll send you a dog one. If you have a cat, we'll send a cat. And we even have human prizes and gifts and stuff if you want something for yourself.
Such a deal. Because you're going to either throw them away and they'll end up in the landfill. They're worth at least $2 to us. And they pay for great programming like this. And they also pay for events like the Mega Adoption. So don't throw them away. Collect them and send them to us. Let's see. Oh, we wanted to thank Frontline.
Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
We appreciate you guys for being a part of Animal Radio. We have Darlene Arden. Hi, Darlene. How are you doing?
Hi, Hal. I'm fine, thanks. How are you today?
Darlene, my darling.
Hi, Darlene.
Hi, Judy.
What are you going to be talking about today?
We're going to talk about dental care because it's so important and people don't think enough about that when it comes to the dogs and cats.
Or themselves, usually. But
well, you're right. I mean, I'm not telling you to floss your dog's or your cat's teeth.
Be difficult.
Yeah,
it would be difficult. They might get a little irritated with you. But the bacteria from around diseased teeth and gums can get into the bloodstream and might cause so many health problems, including those that can affect the liver, heart, or kidneys. So brushing your dog or cat's teeth daily is ideal. Three times a week would be a long way.
Three times a week. Now, I'm thinking that it's probably not as hard for the dogs as it would be for the cat. I'm thinking that might be trouble.
Well, you know, it's like clipping your cat's nails. I find it's best to do it when the cat's really relaxed, because as laid back as my cat is, she's still a cat.
So how do we do that?
It's really simple. You start with, I always recommend starting with a washcloth wrapped around your finger because it's less invasive. It's
okay.
Less of a problem than this thing coming at you, and or coming at the dog or cat. Mm-hmm. And put a little bit of cat or dog toothpaste. Don't use human toothpaste because it foams, and if they swallow it, not a good idea.
Yeah, it's not meant to be swallowed anyway.
Right,
so,
exactly.
So there is
the
such
dog or cat toothpaste is not only safe, but it's flavored with something they'll enjoy. So now you've got a positive experience. Use a circular motion. There are dog and cat toothbrushes that you can get from your veterinarian or at a pet supply place. Don't use the little finger thingies with the nubbins.
No?
No, those aren't good. It's the bristles of the brush that gets underneath the gum line, and that's what helps to really clean.
Oh.
And nobody tells you that, but I've spent a day with the veterinary dental surgeon at Angel Memorial Animal Hospital in Boston, and I learned all kinds of things. Also, for your dog, don't use, you know those toys that look like string, like a rope tied together?
Yes.
Think of those as kind of interactive, the way you would think of an interactive cat toy. Because if your dog's an active chewer and starts to pull pieces off and swallows them,
uh-huh.
it can cause an obstruction in the gut, and then your dog will need surgery. No, you don't want to create a problem.
Mm-mm.
Also, you don't want to use those really hard toys like the hooves and things because they can fracture a tooth.
Ooh.
And people don't think about that. You got to think about the consequences, you know?
Are there certain foods that help with brushing teeth, or is that a fallacy?
No, what's interesting about that is that you want to stay away from things that are real sticky and moist, but some of the dry foods kind of stick to the teeth, too. But by and large, the dry foods are much better at cleaning the teeth because there's an abrasive action when they're chewing. But you still want to be sure and clean your dog or cat's teeth minimum 3 times a week. If you can do it once a day, great.
Wow.
I know of some cats and dogs who will go into the bathroom with the owner, watch the owner brushing his or her teeth, and then open their mouth with their teeth brushing.
We had a call like that earlier this week. We had a call. Someone said that their cat would actually chew on the toothbrush,
yeah.
Watch and chew on the toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, what's really funny is we expect that they don't want to do it, so it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think we transmit something to them. But if you take it as something and your attitude is kind of, well, this is the way it goes. Here's the routine. We all brush our teeth in this house.
Okay.
Then that attitude will kind of go on to the animal. You know how you can get your own dog or cat kind of jazzed up playing with them and they pick up on your mood?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Same thing when it comes to doing nails, when it comes to doing brushing of teeth. It's all the same.
Okay.
They're
going to
pick up.
What's your website, Darlene?
DarleneArden.com, DarleneArden.
And we're going to put you earlier in the show next time so we have a little more time. Remember, if you get a pet this week, spay or neuter. Also remember, you don't have to
buy
any pets. You can adopt a pet. We'll see you next week live from California. Check us out at AnimalRadio.com. Have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.